Pete, let's start with last night. Boy, another outing that was so good and so needed by Nathan Eovaldi. Why wouldn't you consider this guy to be the MVP of the Red Sox?
Well, for a couple of certain reasons. He's made every start this year, which no other starter has been able to do, and he's pitched the most innings on the team this year. And when you talk to any baseball manager, what they value the most is having starting pitching they can rely on every 5 days. That makes everything else fall into place. The rest of the rotation, the bullpen, it just makes everything much easier. And Nate, along with Eduardo Rodriguez and Nick Pivetta, have been those kind of guys, the reliable guys, but nobody more so than Nate. When you look at the innings, the performance, how he's pitched in big games, he's really been somebody who's kind of been the glue to this team all season.
Last night, too, a nice outing and a solid performance from Ryan Brazier. How important is he to this team if they can get into the postseason?
Well, you know, it's funny, Rich, because about 2 weeks ago, they sent him down to Worcester because he had struggled initially after coming off the injured list where he had been all season. And it looked like, you know, they had given it a shot with him, it hadn't worked out, and they were going to see what else they could do. And then before he could even get to Worcester, they ended up putting somebody on the COVID IL, which they were having a lot of problems with at the time, and they summoned Brazier back, which they had the ability to do because the COVID rules are sort of open-ended in terms of roster moves. And since he came back, he's pitched great and did it again last night. So it was very serendipitous for him to kind of get that call, and it's worked out very well for the team because Brazier was one of the most valuable relievers that they had over the last three seasons. When you look at innings and how he pitched and the strikeout rate and everything else that he's done, he's been a very good reliever for them, if a little bit unheralded. And to have him kind of getting back into form now with a fresh arm, considering he hasn't pitched all year, that could be a pretty big development for the Sox.
Matt Barnes there in the ninth inning last night and got out of it cleanly. What does that mean going forward? Do they have a closer right now?
I would say right now they don't, no. And it's sort of been situational and who's available and probably largely Adam Ottavino if you had to pin it on somebody. But getting Matt Barnes back to a point where you can trust him in the late innings is hugely important for the Sox, whether it's as a closer or whatever role it may be. And in the postseason, those roles tend to break down anyway, unless you have a dominant closer. You know, usually it's all hands on deck for the playoffs. And whether it's Barnes or Ottavino or whoever it may be in the late innings, you know, the more of those kind of guys you have that you trust, the much better shape that you're in. And Barnes last night, and granted, you know, it was a 6-0 lead and everything, but it was the ninth inning. He prepared like it would have been a safe situation. He faced some pretty good hitters and got through it. So given his struggles, the fact that he's got his velocity back up, he's throwing strikes, those are sort of what you want to see from a guy before you say, okay, now we're going to put you in a game and we have a one-run lead, you know, and go from there. So I thought that, you know, among the number of good developments last night for the Sox on the pitching side, Barnes was surely at the head of the class.
And Hansel Robles, another guy who's been pitching pretty well lately after a disastrous start with the team.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy because he throws real hard. So if you have a particular point in the lineup where you feel like velocity can overwhelm some hitters, and he's the guy you want. But on the other hand, if you get the other parts of lineups in certain teams, he's definitely somebody you don't want. So Cora's been very careful about how they use him. It feels like if they overextend him a little bit, he had some success, and they tried to use him a couple days in a row, and he got knocked around. He's sort of had a different year with being used a lot at times with the Twins, even as a closer, and then coming to the Red Sox and not pitching well initially, then kind of not being shut down, but sort of being forgotten for a bit, and now he's sort of back in the mix. So they need to be careful with him. I'm not sure he'd be the guy I'd want with a one-run lead in the eighth inning, but he has been able to give them some pretty good leverage situations in the last 2 weeks.
We're talking with Pete Abraham here on Downtown. Another good sign last night on the offensive side is that J.D. Martinez is swinging more like his usual self.
Yeah, he's had for him has been a poor second half of the season, and that's still good for most players, but not for J.D., and I don't know that it's because of anything in particular, but he just hasn't had the same, you know, not intensity, but, you know, his swing is just not, hasn't been as, you know, ferocious as it's been in the past. He hasn't made the exit velocity is not the same. The oomph isn't the same. You know, you don't see those cracking line drives like you're used to from him. But we did see those last night. And much to my surprise, and a number of my colleagues too, the home run he hit was the longest ball he's ever hit as a member of the Red Sox, which I don't know that that's true, but that's what they said. And so that's, you know, that's a good sign for him.
Julio Iglesias has played so well since he came back to the team. Now, he's not eligible for the postseason, but has he got them thinking about finding a home for him next year?
Yeah, that'll be interesting because, you know, they signed Marwin Gonzalez and they looked at him as a utility guy. That didn't really work out. Christian Arroyo ended up being the utility guy, but he's been injured, which has been the case throughout his career, and that hasn't worked out like they hoped. They tried Danny Santana. The same thing sort of happened. And Iglesias is an interesting guy in that he could probably fill that utility role pretty well. He showed that he can play second base. He's played some third base in his career, and he's a very good shortstop. But I do wonder if this little stretch of good offense from him will have him thinking, maybe I can hook up with a team next year as a full-time shortstop, which is not a role the Red Sox would seem to have available. But he's really enjoyed, you know, helping this team to get to where they've gotten. The Red Sox mean a lot to him. He told me last week that, you know, even though it's been since 2013 since he played with the Red Sox, that this organization feels like home for him, and he has a lot of good memories of the people here. He still knows some of the guys on the staff, even though he hasn't played with any of the players. He's having a good time, and you can see it. He's playing second base with a flair. I think he's been good for Xander Bogaerts to help him. And surprisingly, because he's never been much of a hitter in his career, he's really hit well. And the Sox are kind of playing two sides of this because they need to get Arroyo ready for the postseason. But at the same time, you can't take Iglesias out of the lineup because he's given them a lot.
Pete, how important has Alex Cora been to this team this season, given all the challenges, COVID and otherwise, that they've had to deal with?
Yeah, I think he's done a great job, and there'll be people who disagree with that. And, you know, his coming back to the team was not a slam dunk, I don't think, for every Red Sox fan. I still get emails and social media messages saying that, you know, they think they could have done better. But I don't know that they could have. He's had a lot of things he's had to deal with this year, not just the roster, which has been constantly changing. The Red Sox have used the most players they've ever used in a single season in their history. But also the COVID issues, also trying to bring back Chris Sale in a way that he could be effective and stay healthy, dealing with a lineup that has probably too many DH types and trying to figure out how that's going to work, keeping Bobby Dalbec's confidence up and not ending up sending him down to AAA, which seemed like was sure to be the case at one point in July, and muddling through with a bullpen that lost its closer in the middle of a pennant race. Well, not didn't lose him, but had demoted its closer in the middle of the pennant race, and it still has this team right now, as we speak, you know, in a position to play in a playoff game. And there were probably a lot of times at different points of the season you thought, well, that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, here they are with four games left, and they have a chance to be in the postseason.
If they get to the postseason, are we at a point now where we can expect Nate Eovaldi to go in a one-game playoff?
Yeah, there's a lot going on with that, because if it's clean, if they come out of Sunday and they know they're going to have one game on Tuesday, that would be Nate. He'd be lined up, and he'd be actually on a little bit of extra rest for that. If game 162 is meaningless, they could not use Chris Sale in that game, and then they would have the choice of Sale or Eovaldi in the playoff game. And I suppose that would, you know, be contingent on who they're facing and the lineups and different things like that. But I think they would probably lean toward Eovaldi because he's been so good for them all year. He's, I think, earned the right to pitch in that game, you know, considering he's been with the team all season and had the most innings and the most starts. And I don't think that's something Chris would probably second guess either. He understands how it works. So, but if they could get through that, they would be in good shape because they would have Eovaldi for the playoff game. And if they were to win the playoff game, they would have Chris Sale for the game one of the division series on extra rest. So that would be the best of all things. But obviously, they need to get there first. And there's, as we speak, the possibility of ties and playing games to get to the wild card game and all sorts of shenanigans. So, as somebody who needs to travel to these games, I'm hoping it's clean, but I'm preparing for what could be some cross-country journeys in the next couple days.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, to say the least, as we head into the final weekend. Oh, by the way, Pete, I know you commented on it on social media the other day. When you get the chance, probably after the season, you are going to love Steve Van Zandt's new book.
Well, I have it. I think it's at my house, actually. I think it was delivered the other day. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. One of the most unusual happenstances of my career was when I was a younger writer, they sent me to cover an LPGA event, and it was the Pro-Am, and they just said, you know, go see what celebrities are playing in the Pro-Am and, you know, write a story about that. Well, Nancy Lopez was the main golfer, and she was playing with, believe it or not, Steve Van Zandt and Rush Limbaugh.
Whoa.
Which could not be two more different sorts of people. And it was pretty interesting to watch Steve play golf with Rush Limbaugh and managed to not talk to him for 18 holes. And then afterward, I asked Steve about it, and it was probably one of the most memorable stories I've ever written. It was a good time.
I love it. That is great stuff. Well, Pete, thanks as always. We appreciate you making time for us. Enjoy this crazy final weekend. Hope those travel plans are clean and green come Sunday night.
Let's hope. Thanks a lot, Rich. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete. Bye-bye now.